You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the second of two podcasts on the use of bispecific antibodies and the management of patients with multiple myeloma. This program is hosted by Med Learning Group and supported by an unrestricted medical education grant by Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. Today's program is titled Community Considerations in Relapsed Refractory Multiple Myeloma, Current and Developing Anti-BCMA Therapies. This series will be geared toward the medical oncologist, as well as other healthcare professionals involved in the care and treatment of patients with multiple myeloma. My name is Michael Page. I am a pharmacist by training, and I will be the host of today's podcast. We are privileged to be joined today by Dr. Jeffrey Zander, MD, who is a hematologic oncologist at Karmanos Cancer Center in Detroit, Michigan, where Dr. Zander specializes in treating patients with multiple myeloma and amyloidosis. Thank you so much for joining us as our expert for today's program, Dr. Zander.
I'm always happy to share my thoughts.
Wonderful. In this episode, we will talk about clinical data for developing agents in the management of patients with late relapsed refractory multiple myeloma. So if we can talk about some of the data, what are some of the specific antibodies in development and what does that data show so far?
Right now, there are multiple different bispecific antibodies that co-target BCMA and CD3 in development by several different pharmaceutical companies. And this year at the American Society of Hematology meeting that just wrapped up, you know, it was the meeting was awash in data regarding these agents. Right now, what we're seeing is, I think, very consistent data across the different antibodies that have been presented and discussed at various meetings and in publications, which show overall a 70 to 80% response rate with these antibodies, these bispecifics, in patients who are generally really heavily pretreated. There were several different antibodies presented recently, as I mentioned. I'm going to just kind of drill down on three of them. One is called lemvoseltamab. Many people may have heard of it presented initially as Regeneron 5458 or REGN 5458. This has been studied in a phase 1-2 study. The first part is a dose escalation portion, and then which established that the recommended phase 2 dose was 200 milligrams intravenously, and ongoing work in the expansion cohort is happening. The overall response rate for patients treated at or above the 200 milligram dose level is about 75%. And that's really what we saw with two other BCMA by CD3 bispecific antibodies presented. One's called alnuctamab, it's called CC93269. That was a subcutaneous bispecific. Overall response rate seen in that study, 77%. And then another one, elranatamab, which has a longer, older name, PF0686-3135. This was presented by Dr. Balas at ASH this year, and this showed a 61% response rate administered subcutaneously. So really very, very encouraging. The other thing I'd like to point out, you know, is that there are some bispecifics targeting targets beyond BCMA that have been presented at meetings. One is cevostamab, which targets FCRH5 and CD3. And the other one that I think is of interest to a lot of people is talquetamab, which targets GPRC5D and CD3. And both of these have response rates in the 50 to 70% response range and are going to be, you know, probably important factors, you know, in the future for patients past BCMA targeted line of therapy.
Thank you so much. It is really exciting to see this new data, and it's very gratifying to be able to see it as it comes out from ASH. What can we expect from these agents as far as safety?
The side effect profile among these also seems to be kind of consistent across the different antibodies using this bispecific platform. All of them are associated with some serious, you know, side effects. Like when I say that, I'm talking about grade 3 or 4 side effects. And some of them are quite predictable. When we use drugs that effectively target cells that are part of the immune system, like these bispecifics, like CAR T cells, we expect immune compromise. Globulinemia is quite common across all the studies here, as well as across studies using CAR T cells targeting BCMA. Also, as we bring the immune system to bear against myeloma, and that's what we're doing, right? We're redirecting the CD3 positive immune cells against the myeloma cells with these bispecific products. We see activation of the immune system, and we get certain side effects like cytokine release syndrome, you know, with all of these products. The incidence of cytokine release in general, somewhat similar to the incidence that we see with CAR T cells. Most of the products, like for instance, elnuctamab and elranatamab, elnuctamab, which I mentioned before, have cytokine release rates of about 89%. Elranatamab had a lower incidence of cytokine release, about 56%. And likewise, linvoseltamab or Regeneron 5458, also a lower incidence of cytokine release, just under 50%. And in most cases, whether the overall rate of cytokine release is higher or lower, in most cases, it's the vast majority of cases, actually, it's grade one or grade two, which means that these are generally patients who don't need ICU level care. They may need to be managed with medications like tocilizumab, but that doesn't mean that it's prohibitively toxic. We also do see neurotoxicity. ICANS events do occur in a low percentage of patients treated with bispecifics. This is actually a bit different than what we see with CAR T cells, where ICANS events are quite a bit more common than they are with the bispecifics. So like for instance, with ranatamab, ICANS events occurred in about 3% of patients. Elnuctamab, it occurred in just a single patient. So this is a relatively uncommon side effect in patients treated with these BCMA bispecifics.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that overview, and very interesting to hear the differences there as well. From the perspective of a patient in the clinic, when can the patient really expect to see those treatments enter the clinic?
The first of these MA by CD3 bispecific antibodies has actually already been approved. Teclistamab has already been approved and is available via a REMS program. This should be available imminently for patients around the United States and also in Europe. The nice thing about this becoming available is the fact that it is an off-the-shelf antibody-based therapy and is not associated with the lag time that we have experienced so far with CAR T cells. There's two, bottlenecks with CAR Ts. One is there's just a manufacturing cap right now. And so there are long waiting lists at most centers that are delivering CAR T therapy for multiple myeloma. And so it sometimes takes weeks or months just to get to the top of the list to have CAR T cells collected. And then there's a manufacturing period, which is another period of weeks where the CAR T cells are actually manufactured from the patient's cells and then expanded and sent back to be administered. So the availability of bispecifics, and I said, we have one now, and it's anticipated we will have more coming, ones that target BCMA and ones that target other plasma cell markers. Those are going to represent, a major improvement in the availability of BCMA-targeted therapy for patients with relapsed multiple myeloma.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing these important updates with us, Dr. Zander. I speak for all of us and our audience when I say we really appreciate having the opportunity to learn from you.
Well, I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to share this important, exciting data with you, and I appreciate the invitation. Thanks so much.
Thank you.